The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And anyway... Tell us about the otters. You went out there the other day to catch a drum, and you wound up catching a nice drum.
Yeah, I did. I caught a nice drum. I caught a bull red, which I didn't want to catch, but he was dragging me around the boat for about 15 minutes. You know, not used to that.
They're pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, and the tide out there was not my friend either. Yeah. It was fun. But what's interesting is now you have been getting harassed about being the Blenny King and all that stuff. And I take it willingly. You know, it's okay. But so I'm going to go out to the jetties. I'm going to catch a sheephead. Vic talks me into it, and I go out. He's out there. He says, well, park right here, right next to me. And it was like, have you ever watched the movie The Hobbit, you know, where the fellowship is, there's Bilbo's going to drop the ring off in the mountain or whatever, the Tolkien story. And when he puts the ring on, it's just like this haze, and he can see things. And as soon as I got next to Vic's boat, it was like that. It was hazed over, and my God, I caught a sheephead. He is a wizard. I swear to God, the man is a wizard. So.
Is that the picture that you sent me with the sheephead he caught?
Him fighting the fish?
Yeah, well, no, well, you sent me a picture. You was off at a distance.
It must have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's not only the wizard. Isn't the new ad mentioning something about the Sultan?
And it's all due. It's just the respect I have.
He's getting more and more powerful, like Luke, you know, as he gets more.
A legend. It's kind of funny. He's a legend.
It was kind of funny because
Bill wanted to catch a drum, and I said, well, look, if you wait and go out there, you know, and you go out there at this time, I said, the drummer going to come through. And so when he was out there fishing, and I kind of felt sorry for him at one point because he called a nice drum, nice eating size drum, you know, and
28.
I said no, I'm talking about the first one up to when you was anchored by me.
Oh, yes.
He goes, how big these had to be? I said, oh, they had to be 14 inches, and I said, he looks like he's about 15. So he measures him, then I see him throw him back in the water, and I said, what happened? He goes, nah, he was too small. He was 14 3/4. I said, 14 3/4 bigger than 14. So.
Yeah. You know, people laugh at me at the launch ramp now for this show. But, anyways, I went out there. You know, I caught the redfish, and then I catch this octopus. Well, I never caught an octopus, and I've been wanting to cook one for a year and a half, 2 years. And I cook. I mean, I love to cook, and I'm a pretty good cook, but I never cooked an octopus. Mm-hmm. So I read up about it, and they say you sous vide it, which is vacuum cooked. You put it in a vacuum bag, and then you put the bag in the water. You keep the water at 171 degrees for 5 hours, and that tenderizes it. So I do that, except I couldn't find my real thermometer. I'm using a meat thermometer.
Yeah.
So I do the best I can. Mm-hmm. And then you barbecue it. Well, I put the barbecue together, and it wasn't very hot. I said, I'll do it anyway. So I sous vide this damn thing for 5 hours. I buy all this stuff. I put it on the grill. I don't get the grill hot enough. And sure enough, I take this thing, and it was kind of like if you took sticks and wrapped them in a really soft leather and ate them. It was the worst thing. It was like eating. Really? Oh, my God. It was like eating a knuckle.
Yeah, it's
it
funny.
Was like worse than leather, tough.
Yeah, squid. Yeah. I've cooked a lot of calamari. I became a calamari addict after being stationed in the Mediterranean for 3 years in the Navy, and I'd eat octopus over there, but I'd never cooked it, so I can't give you any help there. All I know is that it's a lot more tough. There's a lot more of it.
There's collagen. It's full of collagen, which is typically tough.
Is that what it is?
But I just didn't get it hot enough, and then I dried it out.
Yeah.
And I'll cook them again, but oh my gosh, it was seriously, if you took very fine leather and wrapped it around sticks and ate them, that would be, that was what I came up with.
Well, if they ever feature octopus cooking on Lydia's Kitchen, she cooks all Italian food, mm-hmm. Mediterranean stuff, and so does this other girl. And if they ever do octopus, I'll take some notes.
Yeah. It was, there's, you know, the internet, there's tons of stuff on the internet. So there was no shortage. Just, I, my technique was, my heat was wrong and my grill was wrong. And
Now he made some trout ceviche.
Oh, Lord, was it good.
I heard that it was good.
Yeah. And yesterday I took a bunch of, well, let's just say recently, I took some fish from home and put it in lime juice and orange and made ceviche in my boat. God, it was, it's so good.
How long does it take to cook in the lime? For, is it lime or lemon juice?
The recipe that I use is you take four limes and use the juice. And, of course, that, you know, how much fish you're going to use. You could use 40 limes if you did a bucket of fish. And one orange orange. I guess the lime juice cures the fish better than orange citrus kind of stuff. Mm. And then you put in a piece of garlic. Don't mash it or cut it. Just throw it in. Cilantro. Stems and all, and 4 or 5 hours.
That sounds good.
Take all of this, get rid of the garlic, get rid of the cilantro, take about a half the juice, and add chopped up tomato and avocado. Oh, Lord, it's tasty.
I've heard a lot of people rave about it, and it's also, when you think about it, it's a very healthy way to prepare fish.
Yeah, it's real clean. Like it would be. It's clean tasting.
Yeah.
I gave it to the guy that I fished with yesterday, and he took it home. He was just delighted. Mm. He's kind of like, really? It's raw? I said, well, no, it's cooked.
My next question, how come you're not feeding us all ceviche for breakfast?
I just told you I gave it away. You got to keep up.
Yeah.
But it's a super way to do those trout. Gosh, they're just delicious.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, I think the trout fillet probably is better doing it than like a redfish or a drum
probably.
Or something like that because of the
like
texture.
Yeah, softer to begin with.
Flounder would be out of this world probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
There's no chance of getting it soggy from any grease or from, you know.
And it turns white like it's cooked.
Yeah.
You know, you put it in and it's sort of translucent, and then three hours you can see it starting to turn white, 4 hours.
Yeah, and it's, I hear a lot about it lately, but it's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've got like a 1980 something, I think it's an 84 Miami Herald. Before the fishing guide was called the fishing guide, it was called the boating and fishing guide, out of published by the Miami Herald, and they had recipes in there. And the first time I heard of ceviche, it was way back in the 80s, and I've never tried it, but it sounds good.
And how easy? You squeeze some juice on it, put in a bag, and you're done.
Yeah. So. Plus Persian limes at Publix, three for a buck.
Right. Put some chips and, oh, goodness, you'll be very happy.
Oh, I like the tomatoes on it thing.
Yeah, tomatoes and avocado is what I add. After it's cooked.
Let's get David on here. Morning, David.
Good morning. Spent a little time in the Med myself. I was stationed in Spain for 4 years, and I watched them cook the octopus. Now, I don't know. I never saw the start of the process. I don't know if they pulled the guts out of the thing first, but I watched them beat it on cement for a while. They sent a
really?
Tenderizing 101.
Yeah. Grab it by the tentacles and just start swinging away against the concrete step.
Oh, so you're serious? They didn't do that just to kill it?
No. It was a very long process. Like I said, I don't know if they pull the guts out of the thing first, but that was one of the ways they were tenderizing it at that particular place. And the ceviche, I pulled up my own recipe. I use a little more lemon than I do lime and the orange juice. And the crazy thing of it is, if you don't believe that it's cooked, let it sit there too long and you'll find out you're chewing on blubber instead of nice. Same way if you overcook it in the fryer.
Oh, well, it'll cook it that much, huh?
It does. It is so good. If you guys done flung a craving on me, I'm going to have to go fix some this weekend.
What do you add? You know, I said add avocado and tomato. Do you add anything to yours?
I put orange juice, lemon juice, one or two limes maybe,
Hey, Dave.
I'm sorry. Would you mind holding on for till I can get you back on after break? Let me put you on hold. I want to hear this, okay?
Yeah, sounds good, Dave. Please
hold on. We'll be right back.
Hey, boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterwards? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423, and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Let me get David back on here. Now, I kind of hated to put you on hold there, Dave, for a few minutes, but I wanted to hear the rest of that, if you didn't mind.
No, it's not a problem. I use probably for a standard pound of shrimp or so, I would use about three, four oranges, the juice of them. I would use about 4 to 6 lemons, just depending on the size of them, a couple of limes, some diced onion, just a little bit of diced garlic. Don't get carried away with it. A little bit of fennel seed, no more than a teaspoon. Just add to that the cilantro. I don't do spicy, so I don't put any kind of jalapenos or anything like that in there. And then a little bit of parsley and some finely chopped celery. And you put it in there, let it sit, like you said, and just leave it alone. And then about 4 hours or so, it's ready to go. You have dinner, you enjoy it. If you have any leftovers, pull the shrimp out, let it sit separate in the refrigerator, because if you don't, like I said, it's going to overcook.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you have to rinse it off when you pull it out, or just put it aside?
No, just pull it out and set it aside. The other thing I'll tell you is it cooks seafood fine. It doesn't cook chicken at all. That doesn't happen. So it's not a universal type thing. I did try that, and I discovered my chicken wasn't cooked at all. So I cooked it, and it was a nice marinade as far as that was concerned for the chicken. But it's ceviche is really, really good. I don't do a lot of fish. Usually mine is just straight shrimp. And
David, do you pull them? Do you pull them out and like drain them in a colander, or just spoon it out of there and onto the plate?
When you serve it,
yeah,
it's basically whatever people want. Some people want a little bit more juice with it. No, I don't pull it out in a colander. Just pull it out with a
hold spoon.
A spoon that has holes in the bottom of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Slotted spoon. Yeah.
And you can put it over rice if you want to, or something warm. I never cared to do that. I really like it on a summer day when you want like a salad or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the ceviche is nice and cool. You haven't heated up your kitchen. It's a great alternative to cold cuts.
Yeah.
I have even put it on a sandwich. The stuff that was left over, wanted to make a sandwich out of it, added some lettuce and tomato and did that. The tomato, I don't typically put in the ceviche sauce. That's something that I would add afterwards.
Yeah, my recipe says the avocado and the tomato, when it's cooked, then you cut up, then you put it together. You don't cook it in the sauce.
So you
either.
Put it over it like a garnish instead of...
No, just mix it up like a salad almost.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, you can do that. You can pull your shrimp out of the juice or the sauce. And
right.
With that, you'll pull some of the other ingredients. Like, you know, you may get a couple of fennel seeds and some onion and stuff like that when you put it, which is what you want. And then you can toss that... your tomato on there, and if you want the avocado, you can do that. But it is the first time I heard about it, I thought it was crazy, and I said, people are eating it and they're still alive. I guess
most of them.
So you give it a try, huh?
So you're cooking enough for dinner. You're not doing just appetizers, you're above and beyond that. I bet you'd make a good wrap.
It makes an excellent wrap. It is a fantastic dinner. It is a very good main course. It's not just an appetizer. A lot of restaurants will serve it as an appetizer, but it can and should be, in my opinion, the main course. And like you said, it's fresh. You don't need tartar sauce, anything added like that. You got this nice fresh fruit flavor to it. The only other thing I can tell you, I use the orange juice to sweeten the lemon and the lime to bring the sharpness of that out.
Yeah.
Why do you use lemon and lime? Is it just the flavor that you prefer? My recipe just said lime, so that's all I've done.
Well, the first time I saw it done, it used more lemon than it did lime. The lime is not quite as sharp as far as the lemon is, as far as taste is concerned. And that's I've never heard it without the lemon, to be honest with you. But the what does the cooking is the citric acid or the citrus part of the citrus juice. Oh, by the way, mango. Throw some mango in there too.
We love mango.
And just cube up some mango, put in there. That adds to it as well.
That sounds like that would temper the bitterness a bit too, because mango is very sweet.
It is. It just, and one of the things that I did, especially when adding the mango, I prepared the mango over an open bowl, so I caught all the juice that went along with it. And but there's, like I said, you done flung craving on me. I'm going to have to fix some this week.
Well, likewise, buddy. You made me hungry.
You're making the rap of, you know, unbelievable raps going on in my head right now.
So oh, yeah.
I appreciate your, that's great information.
Yeah. So one orange, depending on the size of how much you're using, but like for what you use, Bill, one orange was enough to sweeten it up and take yep. the tart off of it.
Okay. So regular orange is not orange juice out of the
right. Just squeeze. It's carton. All fresh juice. Oh, cut the yeah. limes. Cut okay. the orange.
Okay.
You want fresh orange juice? Get your squeezer down and do all of your orange, all of your squeezing.
I got my squeezers with me.
Well, one of the, I like to use the mechanical, if you will, because that gives me some pulp that I want in there as well.
So does my glass. I got one of those old antique-looking glass juicers yeah. that you push down. Yeah, yeah that I use when I'm yeah. when I'm doing limes for salsa.
But the one thing that I do is I prepare my juice separate before I start adding the lemon and the other seasonings that I put in there. I put some parsley and like I said, fennel seed. You don't get carried away with those things, the garlic and the fennel seed. Don't get carried away with it. You just want to taste.
Yeah.
But I prepare the juice first and then taste it to find out just how sharp or acidic it is.
Yeah.
And if it's just too, if it makes me pucker, then I want to either a little more orange juice or maybe some honey. But mm-hmm. I don't want to have the strong lemon bite, if you
right.
will.
Right.
Because it probably yeah. overpowers the fish.
It does. Yeah. The lime, of course, you can pretty much eat a lime where you can't eat a lemon, okay?
Yeah.
That's kind of the
deal I agree.
With that. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people use only lime juice instead of the lemon. But the orange just adds tons to it. It's just amazing.
Wow. Well, I sure appreciate you holding on and through the break there and telling us all of this, because that's got to be something we got to try real soon.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I'll listen next week and find out if you tried it.
Okay. All right.
Y'all have a good one.
Hey, thank you. Too. Really thank appreciate you. It, David. Thanks
thank
so
you
much.
Very much, thank David.
Thank you.
And
that was awesome.
Yeah. See, and I brought in donuts, and that just doesn't even compare.
That's the it's like, other know, end of the about, other yeah, end of the spectrum.
No, I'm like thinking about the donut and then, get a jelly and then thinking one. About some nice seafood, and you know, I mean, much rather have seafood.
Oh yeah, yeah. Plus, this you know, if I like that much, that might you know, I still want to explore the what y'all were showing me about those air fryers.
Yeah,
I don't have an air fryer. I'm just a pan fryer.
Yeah,
the air fryer is no grease.
Mm-hmm. Work. And you don't even like put grease to keep it from sticking or anything, do you?
You might coat it with some PAM or something, but mm-hmm. that's it. Mm-hmm. It comes right out of there. Mm-hmm. And it's if you use like a crumb base breading or something yeah. like that, mm-hmm. It turns nice and brown,
mm-hmm.
and it holds the juice in the fish.
And that's just a bonus. I mean, being able to enjoy the fish as healthy and as healthy a prep as possible,
yeah.
you know, in addition to catching them, that is just awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, we eat fish so many different ways. My wife makes a marinade out of, for salmon, out of blackberry brandy and, some brown sugar and stuff. And it is so good that I pour that over the rice.
Ooh, you gotta send me that.
Yeah, that is
please.
So
that,
good.
That oh, is so great because I eat a lot of salmon. I yeah. love it.
And so we started doing that on redfish. Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, so good.
I mean,
it's just a whole different because, you know, I've kind of stopped eating the fried food thing, you know. Of course, I had fried donuts this morning. But
you might have sent me, though. Was that redfish marinade recipe that you?
It might be.
That might yeah. I may have
or it might yeah. be the one that he sent with the cashews.
No, I didn't get that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm all ears for these healthy alternatives.
Because Bill sent me one that uses the
salad dressing.
Yeah, the salad mm-hmm. dressing and then sriracha cashews.
Oh, that was one I think I got.
That's very good. Very good. Well, tried that one too.
Then I don't have that brown sugar, and
I'll get that from you. All right, we'll be right back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The partial closure of the federal government is now officially the longest shutdown in history, now on day 22. The day after some 800,000 federal workers spent payday with no pay, the partial government shutdown did reach an important milestone. Meanwhile, President Trump says it can end at any time if Democrats will compromise with him or provide some funding for the border wall he's requesting. He wants more than $5 billion, but has indicated a willingness to flex. Democrats say they will provide no money at all for the border wall, calling it immoral and ineffective. Three people dead, 23 injured after a double-decker city bus smashed into a transit shelter during the Friday rush hour in Ottawa, Canada. New Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has suspended Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel over his handling of February's massacre at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School last year that left 14 people dead. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
City Rescue Mission's fourth annual Difference Makers Banquet is coming up on Thursday, February 7th at the Lexington Hotel and Conference Center. Join City Rescue Mission for a special evening featuring special guest Daryl Strawberry, who for 17 years was one of baseball's most feared sluggers, an inspiration for anyone in recovery. Strawberry has often said, "I never had trouble hitting, I had trouble living." You can reserve a table at City Rescue Mission's fourth annual Difference Makers Banquet on February 7th for you and your friends, church, staff, or family by calling CRM at 904-421-5183 or by going to crmjacks.org today. Single seat tickets are also available for purchase. City Rescue Mission has been providing hope, healing, and second chances to those who need it most since 1946 and looks forward to sharing Daryl Strawberry's heartwarming story of recovery and restoration on February 7th. RSVP today at crmjacks.org or 904-421-5183.
Are you guys looking for a morning show that is fast-paced, entertaining, and gives you all the news without all the nonsense involved? Listen to Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Monday through Friday, right here on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., Roger.
And we value your input as well, so feel free to call in.
That's right, mornings from 6 to 9 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
The road's still looking good this morning. No tie-ups. Smooth driving. Going to be mostly cloudy today, looking for a high near 68. Little fog overnight, continuing through Sunday morning. About a 20% chance of showers and mostly cloudy overnight, down to 58. And then partly sunny for your Sunday, 30% chance of rain, going to get up to about 74. It is currently down to 51 degrees right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good for his dad.
Yep, that's exactly it. And back to the Still Just Fishing Show. And has it been much of a Still Just Fishing Show this morning? I know it's been mostly...
Still just cooking.
Still just cooking. But anyway, back to fishing. It kind of broke my heart yesterday trying to, get out the jetties because we've been catching, the sheephead and the drum out there pretty good, up till that front come through. That water temperature I noticed has dropped, though, like 4 degrees in 2 days. That's a pretty sudden drop, and I think that's what kind of slowed the redfish down a little bit.
Yeah, there was frost on my yard yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was on my truck really bad yesterday morning. And, when that water temperature drops like that suddenly, those fish are submerged in it. It's like you pull one out, he feels like he's been on ice, it's got to make those fish kind of
real lethargic.
Stun them. Yeah, it's got to stun them back a little bit. And then, of course, after a few days, they get used to it and they've got to eat, so that, they go back to feeding.
Yeah.
But that first drop like that on a cold front, I hate that. Of course, I hate the wind worse, but when the water temperature drops that suddenly, it kind of slows some of the fishing down. It does fire up some of the fish, depending on the species you're targeting. Like I said, I was wanting to get out there and catch those. We got a few sheephead bites in the river, but, we didn't catch any sheephead in the river. We did wind up getting those two big ones in the creeks in that shallow water, but... I was hoping on trying to get some in the river better yesterday. And we had some good bites, so I was watching the tips of the guys' poles and could tell they were sheephead bites, that they were getting. But, unfortunately, when you got wind blowing like it was yesterday, it's hard for people to try to feel that light of a bite, especially if the wind's blowing your pole back and forth, Kind of that make you think you're getting a bite.
Yeah.
But
wind is hateful.
Yeah.
And, bring up this article. We were talking about articles a while ago. It's talking about fishing, and this article talks about how the Uninot has stand the test of time. The article was written by Jeff Weekly with the Florida Sportsman. This guy named Norman Duncan was the one that created the Uninot, and it was first called in 1970. It was first called the Duncan Loop.
Oh, wow.
And then this guy named Vic Dunaway kind of enhanced it a little bit. And it was also had it tested by DuPont. DuPont's the maker of Strin.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually tested this knot to see what the strength of the knot was. When they found that it was tied to, when it was tied straight to a hook, it had 100% strength. The knot did. And when it was tied line to line, it was 90%. But then after Mr. Vic Dunaway did his little enhancement to the knot, it went to 100%. And what he did was on that Uninot, he looped the braid to the leader.
Instead of making it a single strand, when you do a uni to uni, instead of making a single strand, he did a double.
Yeah, he just flipped the line over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then passed the loop through, four times.
Yeah.
Or five. And so that way you had four wraps or five on the leader and four or five on the braid.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I talked about this too. I usually will put 8 to 10 wraps
of the braid,
depending on the size of the braid, and that keeps it from cutting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and whenever you do a uni to uni, and most of them, it's going to show you to wrap it like 6 times. I always kind of go another 2 or 3 times with the braid like that, more so than the fluorocarbon or the monofilament, just to kind of give you that extra. Because that braid will slip a little too.
Yep.
Just slightly. So, but one of the main things too that we had talked about with that uni to uni is to, when you pull those two knots together, you want to pull them slow.
Yeah. And I didn't see that in the article. That is very important.
I was kind of surprised. Now, it does say to wet it in there, but it doesn't say to pull it slow, to pull those two knots together.
And on a uni to uni, when you're cinching those two knots down together, before you cut your tag lines off, you want to wet it and pull it slow. Because that if you pull it fast, it'll friction will heat up that mono and fluorocarbon, and it will just destroy it. I mean, it will break after that.
You got to get those wraps to where they join together. They cinch down nice and evenly.
Yeah, that helps too. Because if you notice when if you don't do it like stretching it out when you do it, you know, when you go to pull it tight down, if you pull it nice and slow too, it won't knot up in a big like little ball. You know.
You know, we've been talking about that braided line, that China made braid line. It's because it's so much cheaper.
Is it still cheap in lieu of the sanctions against China?
Is it? I don't know. It may go up now.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, I tied this knot to a leader with eight, nine wraps to with that line to a fluorocarbon leader. I straightened the hook out twice. Got hung on, and I just pulled it, and it broke off. It pulled loose, reeled it in. The hook was this almost straight, and it didn't break.
And that was 20-pound test line.
Yeah, 20-pound test line of that China stuff.
The wire hook?
Yeah, that. Well, it's your sheep head hook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. You straightened it right out. And that short shank, you know, on that hook. It would be harder to straighten that out than a longer
than one. Than a longer hook, yeah.
And it didn't break the line, didn't break the...
It's pretty neat.
And the knot held. So,
I think PowerPro really kind of brought the uni into focus because they started having that featured as its number one primary knot on that little flyer book. That you get, the little booklet. So I took a copy of it one time, and I just kind of used a refrigerator magnet, put it up on my fridge so I always knew where it was, because I'd never heard of a uni until I believe I have heard of that Duncan loop way back when, but I did not associate the two until you brought that up.
Norman Duncan.
And I tell you what, Vic Dunaway, he's done just about everything fishing and outdoors, really. He's a legend.
Yeah. Big name in it,
He's the one that kind of pushed the got the knot out there. Pushed the knot. So.
Well, and
I thought it was very interesting.
It is.
And getting back to the cooking, Vic Dunaway is the author of that Florida Sportsman book called From Hook to Table, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Still just cooking. Hey, in keeping with that theme, I got some pretty nice bait shrimp yesterday, so tonight we're going to have bait shrimp and grits.
Ooh. All right. When they're nice is what you were talking about?
Yeah, they were extra. Right across from Circle K.
When I leave with nothing, I do have something.
That's right.
Yeah, unless you're throwing nice artificials all day.
You feel bad about depriving the fish of those shrimp?
I gave them the heads.
They had to eat.
Yep, that's a deal.
And you know what?
I
gave him a good shot at eating them.
Yeah, you tried to get him up. Let's see. Let's get Trina on here. Morning, Trina.
Morning, Trina.
Morning. How are you doing?
We're doing good. We've been talking more about cooking than fishing this morning, but we're doing good.
Trina.
Bragging on you earlier.
Hola.
You were.
Yeah.
But
I got us in the chat somewhere. No.
Ted was talking about he went to your last meeting out there, the last club meeting, and talked about how y'all are going to start this inshore division now. So that's great news to hear.
Yeah.
I hear some people referring it to as an inshore division, and I just want to kind of clear that up a little bit. It's not so much an inshore division. We've always had an inshore board.
We've
always had inshore anglers and an interest in inshore. But we've recognized that a growing segment of our club are inshore anglers. And for the Captain of the Year contest, we're going to finish this up after break, aren't we?
Yeah,
can you please hang on?
Yeah, we'll put you on. But you still got about 30 seconds to talk.
Okay. So for the Captain of the Year contest, after the first three tournaments, the inshore guys can't go troll the blue water for pelagic species. So what we did was introduce an inshore Captain of the Year board that has like tournaments for the inshore guys. So if we have a main trolling tournament, the inshore guys will have a tournament that day also.
Oh, okay.
Within the river. If we have a non-live tournament, the inshore guys will be fishing artificial.
You know, cobia run up in the river sometime.
Well, that's good.
No, you'll be fishing for appropriate inshore fish.
Right.
Chris.
I never like this. I don't like to start things, but.
That doesn't sound like.
I caught cobia on Rounds Creek Dock. So many years ago, I caught juvenile cobia.
Let me get you on hold.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
Hey, we're back this morning. Trina, I'm sorry I had to put you on hold real quick there in the middle of your sentence, but
no need to apologize.
About to lose you there. When we go for a break like that, it just cuts us off, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
I enjoyed the meeting, by the way.
I recognize
that's Ted.
Voice.
Yeah, Ted. Yeah, Hart, Trina, Ted Hartman.
That's the fellow I told you about that I kept feeding him information you were putting out about the inshore, developing inshore changes.
I remember you speaking of him.
Yeah. And yeah, lured him. I lured him back out there. He went for it, hook, line, and sinker, and he was happy to hear what you were putting out too.
A dollop of fairy dust.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a positive change in the direction.
I do too.
With the club.
Yep.
I concur. So,
yeah, there's a little bit of discomfort for some people, but it's just none of us like somebody to move the couch when we're not looking.
Yeah.
You know. It's just, but it's really, we've got a great, great group of people and great energy in the club, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, and I mean, I can understand, to the point, it's always been the Jacksonville Offshore Sport Fishing Club, but, times have changed, so, things sometimes can be tweaked to be a little better at times. Who knows? It's a good thing to try anyway.
Yeah, and that inshore board has been up there for years. It's the name of the club has always been offshore, but we've said, as long as I've been a part of the club, especially in the last few years, it's a fishing club. That name was developed as part of the progression from
the outboard
club.
Mm-hmm.
So it went from outboard to offshore, and the primary focus then was, the offshore, the artificial reefs and such.
Yeah.
So, the inshore segment was always there, but it was just the way the club was named.
And there wasn't much activity. I mean, I was a member there for several years, a long time ago, and I just couldn't get connected with anyone that wanted to do any inshore stuff. I couldn't find. There might have been somebody there, but I didn't find them.
Yeah. Well, and when you're talking about inshore compared to offshore, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like when Chris was targeting for the last tournament, you were looking for redfish, trout, and flounder.
Mm-hmm.
First. You don't normally go to the offshore reefs to catch those. Maybe the flounders certainly in the wintertime, but you don't really catch speckled trout and keep slot sized reds out there offshore.
Chris is the only one who found a slam that day.
Yeah, we get lucky every once in a while.
He had some good.
You fish often enough, you will get lucky.
There you go. Blind hog finds a nut.
There you go.
Me and flounder just don't see eye to eye.
It was close there. Yeah. I think I shared that with you, Trina. It was close because I was giving it another 15 minutes and no flounder, and I'm out of here. I'm headed to the way in.
Yeah.
Well, even to talk
the
about
most beautiful fish of my life on Captain Vic's boat. Swam right away.
And even if you're talking about the black drum, there's another species right there, Trina. That's normally caught inshore.
She said you told her about how to get out there and do it, and she did it, and she said she hammered them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you said that?
You gave us a seminar, yep. I think I've told you this before, on how to fish with blue crab. And I went out there and listened to you word for word, and you could have been narrating the boat. It was amazing. And to sit there and let that fish bite that crab and not do anything.
Yeah. It's hard.
An act of God in itself. That God loves me, that he'd let me hold on to that fish.
Hey, Trina.
It is hard, but I tell you, it works.
Trina, one time, this is years and years ago in the club, Brian Dufek came out and did a sailfish seminar, and I did the same thing you're talking about. I took my boys out there during the Jack's Offshore Club's junior angler, and we did exactly word for word what Brian said. Looked for 72 degree water and started put the baits down and down on a downrigger and nailed. That's how we got our first sail. So there's all kinds of stuff for people to pick up.
Wait a minute, did you get thrown in the water then?
It wasn't me. Matthew got him.
Okay.
Did he get junior angler?
I was going to think we owe him a Duncan.
Wasn't a captain thing back.
But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there's tricks to everything. I mean, you know, people, I mean, have told me years ago, if you're out cobia fishing, always take some eels with you. You know, those gulp eels.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could go out there one day, you know, on the best laid plans and go out there and then all of a sudden you can't find a pogie to save your life, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, you know, it's things like that happen. So, you know, when you take advice from somebody, I mean, Captain Fred Morrow and I listen to Kirk Waltz all the time, Captain Kirk Waltz. I mean, it, you know, I try to learn from what I can from everybody. And that little bit of my dad told me one time, something that I've said at my seminars, even if you only learn one thing that day from listening to somebody, you can use that the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You
That's
know?
The truth.
Captain Trina, what's your favorite cobia secret?
I've only hooked and landed one, that big.
That beast?
That beast.
Seen that picture of you with a beast.
Man, that was a pin battle, too, that I won there at the offshore club on a raffle table, and I had it rigged with 30-pound test braid with a 20-pound test fluoro topper, and I pitched a pogey at that thing, and about 5 minutes into the fight, I looked down. I was like, what were you thinking, woman?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember you saying you wouldn't.
An hour and 10 minutes to get that thing in.
Wow.
And I will never get that fight in my life again. That is a once-in-a-lifetime, because I'll never throw a rod like that at a fish like that again. But I got to do it, and that was a unity, not like you were talking about. Uh-huh. So to bring in that shows the power, the strength, and, you know, give the rod and the line and everything a chance to do its work and let the fish wear out, and you can get in a giant fish on very light tackle.
Yeah.
But, man, that was an awesome fight.
Yeah. You'd be amazed when some people bring their own equipment on board my boat, and then they lose the fish, and I'm like, you know, how much, you know, what kind of line you got on that rod, you know? Because, I mean, I'd rather use my rods anyway, you know, but if somebody wants to use their favorite rod, that's fine. And then come to find out, you try to pull the drag out on something, they got it locked down, you know? It's kind of like, you know, you always tell people, you know, something's got to give and take, and you can catch big fish, you know, on really light tackle, but you got to let everything work like it's supposed to.
An analogy that has been the most helpful thing as far as letting the fish, you know, letting the rod and the reel and the line and everything work together to bring that fish in. And it might have even been you, Captain Vic. If you put a backpack on, and you run down the hallway, you got 10 pounds of bricks in there, and you run down the hallway one time, you got a pretty good burst of energy.
Mm-hmm.
That second time down the hallway, you know, it's getting a little bit more tired, a little bit more heavy.
There you go.
And, you know, you start getting down the hallway 5 and 6 times, and that backpack all of a sudden feels like it's weighing, you know, 30, 40 pounds. So you put that analogy with the fish, like that hook, that drag is his backpack, and every time he runs away from that boat, he's getting a little heavier and harder to fight.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So, you know, you got to have it where something's going to give all the time.
So remember that, Trina. You can go out and do that again on that cobia. It won't kill you.
I've got a
you'll wear him down.
Line for
I saw Chris bring in about a 5-pound sheep head on, looked like 4-pound test line.
Yeah.
You know, on that antique Mitchell reel.
Yeah.
Do not try this at home.
We talked about the El Cheapo again today, Trina, so we're going to let you know we're going to promote that thing right on up to the day, because that's the best tournament around.
Captain Chris called in earlier, Trina.
Yeah, Captain Chris called in.
Chris Rooney?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Captain Chris Rooney?
Yeah.
All right,
appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And appreciate it. Appreciate y'all coming in, y'all.